Hello and welcome to the Expansion Room. I'm your host, Siobhan Larice, and today we're going to be talking about a fascinating topic that is at the intersection of science and spirituality called sound healing. And I had my own experience with sound healing for the first time about 10 years ago now that really shifted my idea about what is woo-woo and what is sciency. And so sound healing more and more is being incorporated into mental health as well as an alternative to physical health practices. It is also sometimes called sound therapy, and it uses vibration and frequency to help restore balance, harmony, and wholeness, both to body and mind. My special guest today is a friend of mine, Terry Weaver, and she bridges the gap between the two worlds. She's a trained scientist, Reiki master, and sound healer. And she helps people to experience restorative and measurable effects of sound on the nervous system, brain waves, physical and emotional health. So, welcome, Terry. Great to
Thank you,
have you here
Sharon.
today.
Good to be here.
Let's see. I think we'll go right in. If you can tell us a little bit about your journey and what brought you to sound healing.
Sure. My name is Terry Weaver. As you mentioned, I'm a scientist and recently have devoted my attention to sound healing and Reiki. Due to some circumstances in my life. But basically, my background, I have a master's degree from Johns Hopkins University in biotechnology. And BC, or before children, I worked as a scientist for several years at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in various allergy, immunology, and cancer labs. And then when I started my family, I worked as a science educator, mostly undergraduate courses. That I taught lab courses in area colleges, and I taught biology and forensic science, biotechnology, and genetics. And I was doing that while I was raising little ones and
Nice.
part-time. And then when my children were older and more a little more self-sufficient and I had more time, I went back to science. And in the last 5 years of my life, I worked as a cell biologist. My project was focusing on pediatric Crohn's disease and studying the immunological patterns of cells and looking for a cell signature of Crohn's disease, indicating the onset of the disease, and also diagnostic tools using cells that were less invasive than other methods that are currently used. And also, I developed 3 patents in the area of biofluid diagnostics. Specifically, saliva. So, in essence, wouldn't it be great if when you go to the doctor and a blood test is ordered, instead of going to a lab and having, it drawn from your arm, which can be painful and kind of inconvenient to go in, wouldn't it be great to just spit in a tube and send it off to a lab?
Much easier, yes.
Right. Not invasive. You can do it at home. You can do it before and after treatments. You can do it at different time points during the day. It's very easy to do, and it contains the same information. So that was the technology I was working on.
Nice.
I had a health challenge, and that turned me to holistic healing modalities. And basically, it was a combination of sound healing and grounding, the two of those things that really made a fork in the road for me and changed my life entirely in a different direction. And also the loss of my job a year ago, almost a year ago, that really had me sit down and evaluate my life and think about what I wanted to do and the direction I wanted to go in. And I feel like the shift for me was so huge. And I learned so much about myself and healing and just what human beings are, like what we are and what we can do, that I just feel like my place is to share that with others and teach others that, we ourselves are healers. We're all natural healers, and we just have lost the ability to even think that. We think that we have to turn to a doctor or a specialist or a wizard of some or a guru, but really it's all inside of us. And it's so exciting when we learn how to have the confidence and to tap into that to self-heal ourselves of almost anything. That's what humans were designed to do, and it's just been lost along the way. So I feel like
Absolutely.
that's my new role.
Wonderful. That's a lovely role.
Yeah.
I think there's so much happening now in the Western world where people are waking up to what you're talking about, is that we don't have to reach out to doctors or use pharmaceuticals as much as we have been in our society, when we can use modalities like sound healing, just tapping into our own intuition and listening to our bodies and figuring out what we need, shifting our diet and what we consume as food, and looking at that food as medicine, right? Using the ways to move our body to release energy. There's so much going on now in our society that people are tapping into, and they're not just going to the doctor and listening or being told what to do with their bodies, right? And so that's the shift I think that we've needed for
It
a
is.
really long time.
Now, Western medicine does have its benefits. If you're having
Absolutely.
a baby or you broke your arm, Western medicine will take care of you. No problem.
Exactly. You've been in
But
a
if you
car
have something,
accident, you need that,
yes.
whatever it,
Thank
what
you,
the
ambulance, for
emergency
saving my life.
is.
Yes. Thank you, emergency crew, for saving my life. But
That's right.
some things, chronic conditions or conditions involving inflammation, things like cancer, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, on and on and on. Those kind of things, medical science, not so much, not so helpful.
Not so
Maybe for
helpful.
some people, but popping a pill can only do so much to help. And there's also
Exactly.
really huge power in the placebo effect. Gosh, you could do a whole show on just that.
I know.
But
Oh, yes.
yeah, so I think that people are kind of like myself. I turned to holistic modalities more out of desperation. I would do anything to feel better. Anything. I would try anything. There wasn't anything I wouldn't try. I was just so desperate to feel better. And now that
Understandable.
I do, I'm 100% better. Can get into my journey a little later, but I'm so much better now that I just feel like I need to tell my story and also, hold space for others and work with them and show them how to tap into their own wisdom. That's what this is all
Absolutely.
about. It's like when you said reaching out to others for versus you really our eyes are faced the wrong direction if you think about it. Really, we should be focusing inward because that's where it all is. We
Absolutely. That's
just
a
think
good
that we're
point.
supposed to claw and grab and reach for everything outside of ourselves, including reaching for happiness, reaching for health, reaching for everything we want. But it's all inside of us. So
Indeed.
it's really beautiful when you can learn to tap into it and utilize it for not just health, but well-being, happiness, joy. You ever wonder why the masters of the world smile so much?
I know, right?
Right? Because they've got it figured out. This is all just a projection.
And they are super content.
Yes, they are. I think as my own personal journey continues, I've become more content in honestly in things that common society doesn't look too highly upon. Slowness, calmness, mindfulness, simplicity.
And that
My
brings
soul
me
craves simplicity.
exactly. And that brings me to, on this show, we have talked a lot about in previous episodes the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's that calmness you're talking about, right? That rest, that relaxation, digest is in there. But that's what our natural state is supposed to be, this calm, restful way of moving about the world. Most of us are in sympathetic nervous system, fight, flight, or freeze most of our
Most
day.
of the time.
Yep, most of the time.
This is
And
a
we
tough times
wonder
to
why
live
we're
through.
out of
Yes.
alignment, right?
Yes, totally out of alignment. Yes.
And
Most,
indeed.
I agree.
Indeed. And so sound healing affects that for us. It helps us to reset our central nervous system, get back into parasympathetic nervous system. It helps our brain waves, and it helps our energetic frequency in general to literally feel better physically and mentally and emotionally.
Totally.
It's one of those things. I thought sound healing was something that was brand new when I first heard about it 10 years ago, but in kind of doing a little bit of research, it's been a thing that's been around for like a millennia. Like they have been using sound in different ways for people to have coherence, heart-brain coherence. When we think of the shamans and their rituals, when they use drums, that is part of sound healing, right? It is
Totally.
helping to get the community's heartbeat in coherence, right? Heart-brain coherence and coherence with the people that are in the community. Oftentimes, music or sound is being used to calm angst, and that's what we're seeing now in the research, to calm angst and anxiety. To raise people out of depression. It's a fascinating field, and we'll talk definitely more about that in this episode. But it's a thing that I love, and it is so woven into our society. And it's a lovely thing that we can access that in a lot of ways doesn't really cost us a lot of money, or if any kind of money, right? It's like if you can use sound, we see it with babies. I don't know if you've ever seen, you've had two kids. Have they ever taken a spoon to a pot?
Oh, yes.
Right? Or something to something else just to bang it, because not only because they can hear, right? But it's making a rhythm for them that they like. So it
Yes.
starts for us really simply early. And so in looking at, and I want to encourage the audience to, as you're looking at ways to bring more balance, more coherence in your life, to really think about sound as one of those ways to do so. So we're about to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to answer the question with Terry of, from a scientific point of view, what's actually happening in the body when we are exposed to these kinds of frequencies? So when we come back, we'll start there.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. I'm your host, Siobhan Lurice, and today we are talking about the benefits of sound healing for mental as well as physical health. And today my guest is Terry Weaver. And we ended the last segment with a question, right? What is happening in our bodies with these healing sound frequencies? And why do we feel such an immediate shift when we have sound healing?
Okay, I have maybe two parts to answer this question. First, when the body is exposed to healing frequencies, so those are frequencies at a specific hertz, that's a measurable number or unit of measure, the cells are brought into resonance with one another. And a good way to illustrate how this works is, this is a YouTube video anyone could look up if you want to see. If you know what a metronome is, if you're in music, a metronome is an instrument that has a ticker and it tick-tock, and it you can adjust it to different paces in music so that you have an orchestra that's playing at the same pace, a song in unison, and so they're in, resonance with one another. Yeah. If it's off just slightly, any one instrument is not in the same rhythm, it won't work. The whole thing won't work. Right. Somebody did an interesting experiment where they put metronomes in a room, in a space all together, a whole bunch of them, like maybe 50 of them, all at different paces, right? Set to the same time, interval, but not, they're all ticking at all different, all different times. Over time, they all synchronize together.
Exactly. I remember that experiment. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's when you see it, it's a very powerful image. And that is the way that I describe resonance. Yeah. Those instruments had a way of tuning into one another. Yep. It's just part of one of life's mysteries.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with the shamans beating the drum and the whole community.
Absolutely. They're putting that group in resonance with one another.
Yep.
So when you expose yourselves to sounds, if you say you go to a sound healing and a person is playing sound bowls or just a number of meditative instruments, if that sound is at a specific frequency, it can put your cells in resonance with that frequency. A lot of research is being done on specific frequencies. Research is limited so far, but it's coming around. It's people are coming on board to, wow, this is really powerful. And some of the frequencies are even known to have effects with certain chakras. So if you're not familiar with chakras are the energy centers of the body.
Yeah.
And so, for example, 528 hertz is known as the love frequency. And that's where if an instrument is played in that range, it can evoke DNA repair and emotional balance. There's 963 hertz can stimulate the pineal gland, open up the third eye, so to speak, make us more conscious. Elevate consciousness, if you will. So this is something interesting to look up online if you want to do your own little rabbit hole of information about the number of hertz. And there's all kinds of different, you can even get tuning forks that correspond to different number of hertzes and that have desired effects. So if you have a person that is suffering from a certain ailment or needs help with a certain, like maybe they have a broken heart and they want to expand the heart, 528 hertz might be a good frequency to work with that person.
Absolutely. One of the things I love about these, the numbers, the hertz that you noted, is that they are in line with Nikola Tesla's original theory all those years ago about frequency, about vibration. And he talked so much about, I think his favorite quote, his famous quote, is that if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And out of that came this 369 thing, right? It's this 369 code that everything breaks down 36 to 36 and or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the hertz, when we use sound healing in reference to these hertz, they bring us back in resonance with the idea of the way the earth vibrates, the way the earth's frequencies move. And we are part of earth. No matter how much we want to think we're separate from, and that's probably part of the reason that we see so many woes on the planet, but we are part of the planet. We want to be in frequency or in coherence for our best optimal health. And when we're out of that, it sets everything off.
It does. It's interesting that we're really just learning or scratching the surface really of this. I think this is going to blow up over time when, I mean, we already have so many technologies that utilize sound, you know, ultrasound, sonar. I mean, there's so many human advances that have been made because of utilizing sound frequencies. Absolutely. So another thing that that happens is in the brain, the electrical activity that can be measured. So if you see people with sensors on their head that are having, you know, an evaluation of what's like going on in their brain electrically, the brain waves that are measured can be placed in categories. You know, so delta that's deep sleep. Theta is the state of meditation. Alpha is relaxed alertness. So you're not asleep, but you're not really doing anything. Maybe you're just relaxing, you know, reading a book or something like that. Beta is waking consciousness, and gamma is when you have intense focus. You know, you're intensely focused on something. What sound healing does in particular. So let's give, you know, a typical sound bath, what would happen in a sound bath experience. So I'm a sound bath, sound healing practitioner. So I would go into a room with people who are either lying on mats or in chairs, couches. And I use grounding mats also to kind of enhance the experience. And they basically listen. So if you've ever taken a yoga class, my favorite part of the yoga class is called Shavasana. It's at the end.
Yes.
When you're all done with all the work that you're doing, you get to rest and just be, and it's the best. So sound healing, a sound bath is we're just going to do Shavasana. Skip all the work and we're just going to.
For an extended period.
Yes, we are. It's typically an hour. And you basically just lay there and listen to music and relax. And the amazing thing about it is that, a lot of people are able to enter the theta state almost immediately. Even people who are even trying it, not all people, but a lot of people, people that I've talked to and my own experience, the first time I ever went to a sound bath, I dropped down within minutes. Yeah, call it dropping down. You're able to access that, that theta brain state and deep relaxation. And when that happens, not only does deep healing happen in your body, where your body releases tension, if there's a particularly traumatic memory that's on the surface, maybe it might release, you might get a twitch in your arm and it's just really, you're not necessarily conscious about it,
right?
But it's your body's way of moving energy and releasing and healing. And it's so deeply relaxing that a lot of people, including myself, have huge intuitive hits. I have had visions. I've had almost kind of like a dreamlike state where I'll hear from my guides, or I'll hear from, you know, just nudgings to do this or that to on my path, you know, hints. Some people call it breadcrumbs, but in a way that's really obvious.
Yeah.
And so it's a way of not only healing your body and your energy, but getting in touch with your own intuition, with your own inner strength, with your own inner guidance, right? It's a way it's like getting on the phone and calling yourself and saying, hey, what's up with me? And how do I fix this, whatever problem it is? And then you get advice, and in a way that, you know, some people see colors or patterns. People have very interesting experiences. And when I conduct sound healings, at the end, I invite people to share, and sometimes people share their experiences. Sometimes they don't. It can be very personal, but you know, people have heard from loved ones that have passed away. They see, you know, interesting flashes of colors or patterns, or it's just, yeah. It's so varying and fascinating what people are able to access in that state. And some people fall asleep and they don't have any memory of it whatsoever, but that's okay because, you know, sleeping is in the delta brain waves. And so you're still receiving benefit. So it doesn't matter if you're in the, you know, the theta state and you see, you know, your spirit guides, or if you're just totally asleep, it doesn't matter. You still receive all of the benefits, and your body is able to reset, and you're able to get out of that, as you mentioned, the fight or flight state that a lot of us live in our modern culture.
Yeah.
It's a chance for the body to really. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I said we're supposed to be much more in the parasympathetic.
Yes. And it's interesting too, because it's something that can be almost learned. Mm-hmm. I went to so many sound baths myself as a client, in so many different places. One of them was outside and it was wonderful. So the sounds of nature integrated. One was in someone's backyard pool. We got to float in the pool while my friend was playing the bowls, and that was otherworldly.
I actually came across a video like that, where like the pool was stacked with floating devices. Everybody was on them with little blankets, and someone was doing sound healing. And I was like, oh, that has got to be the coolest way of doing this.
It was amazing. And also it was when the sun was going down. So the sky was getting darker, and then the lights were coming on around in the pool area. It was very elegant along the landscape and the sounds of nature all around. It was, like I said, otherworldly.
I love it. You know, it's funny, my very first introduction to sound healing 10 years ago, I was definitely one of those people who saw patterns. I was blown away that, I mean, I'm in a dark room, my eyes were closed, and I could see these patterns going, you know, before, like waves before my eyes. And I opened my eyes at one point, I was like, what is happening? And I just closed them back and just enjoyed the process, because I could feel something shifting physically in my body. And it was really profound.
Totally profound. And the other thing is that shift that you're mentioning, and what I was calling dropping down. A lot of people are able to achieve this. And I don't want to say everyone, because everybody's experience is different, but some people try meditation and they try it year after year, and it just, for whatever reason, doesn't work out for them. Yes. I myself included, basically ADHD, my mind's all over the place, I can't slow it down. There's something about those instruments. When you lay down and you're inviting rest and restoration, you open up in a way, your mind is distracted with those sounds, and it helps you just drop right down into a meditation. Yep. It's almost like a cheat for meditation.
It really is. But I think of sound healing, just like I think of yoga nidra, which we've talked about on this program a lot, as forms of meditation, because meditation doesn't have to be, you sit in the lotus position on a cushion with your fingers. Right. There are other ways to access that state in our brain so that we connect to our guides, our higher selves, and our intuition, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be that. I encourage everyone to find their thing, right?
Yes. And this is a tool.
Another way. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. I know someone, as a matter of fact, he was a guest on the show a couple of months ago, and he also felt like he couldn't meditate. He thought he didn't have the DNA to connect to spirit until he did a breath practice, and boom, he was there.
That worked for him, right?
Yep. So we are all wired in whatever ways we are wired, and that is a gift. And in that, you need to find which way you can tune inward that's going to be the best benefit for you to access that state. So we're about to take our next break. And when we come back, we'll talk about, we'll answer this question, like from your perspective, Terry. As both a scientist and sound healer, how do you see this principle showing up in your work with sound? Nikola Tesla's frequency idea, the 369, how do you experience it when you're offering sound healing for people? And so when we come back, we'll answer that.
Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room, where today we are talking about the benefits of sound healing. And before the break, we asked the question of our guest, Terry Weaver, as both a scientist and a healer, what is she noticing in reference to Nikola Tesla's principle about frequency and sound, the 369? How does it show up for you in the work that you've been doing so far?
This is something that is kind of an ongoing investigation on my part. I am a classically trained scientist, and so I observe cause and effect, and I like to take accurate notes. I like to ask questions. And so since the sound healing is a relatively new endeavor for me, I've been participating in sound healings for years, but as a practitioner myself, starting to work with people, I'm just basically going on what I'm learning. And tuning forks is something I'm incredibly interested in. I've been doing a lot of research on tuning forks. I'm trying to decide which ones to get and at which hertzes, because I have seen demonstrated that you can actually diagnose certain blockages, or like say there's a damage or something in someone's organ or bone, by simply bringing the fork and holding it over certain areas of the body. So for example, let's say someone has an injury on their shoulder and they haven't told you about it. You could ring, you know, a tuning fork and hold it on one side versus the other, and it will sound differently.
Wow.
So that is fascinating to me. Because I was a scientist involved in diagnostics, I never even thought about sound the way sound reverberates, you know, it reflects back, you know, that it can carry information. And if you think about how sonar works to,
right,
you know, the map, the bottom of the ocean, how it sends waves down and the way that they come back, how they're recorded, you can figure out what the depth is at any given. That's how we can figure out the topography of the bottom of the ocean with sonar.
Right.
It's kind of like the same thing with a tuning fork. You're sending a wave of energy into a person's body, and it's picking up energy and reflecting back to, to the observer, what's going on in that person. That's totally fascinating to me.
It is.
To locate blockages, energy blockages. When we pent up our emotions, our society isn't really good about, I think we're getting better, but especially for men, just about repressing emotions. You're not allowed to cry. You're not allowed to show emotion. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to, and what that does is it piles up over a lifetime, and it can concentrate in certain areas in the body, and it can present in the form of different illnesses. So what happens when we press our emotions and we don't process our feelings, it can become entrapped in the body and create a blockage. And a tuning fork can almost be like a diagnostic instrument. It can find a blockage locate it so that an energy healer such as myself, I'm also a Reiki practitioner, can then work on the energy, the movement of the energy in that part of the body. I use a combination of Reiki and sound healing to work on those blockages once they're identified. Right now, I'm kind of doing those intuitively, but the tuning fork really, that's something physical that, again, cause and effect that you can observe and record. You can go on YouTube and look up tuning forks yourself and be fascinated by the different uses of them, as I mentioned, I was doing in my own journey. And then as far as releasing blockages and, you know, treating different areas of the body, you can use sound directly on that part of the body, say the shoulder analogy I gave or example I gave. If you hold a tuning fork of certain frequency on that shoulder,
yeah,
and let it vibrate, it is incredible. I speak from my own experience. I had a practitioner once hold a tuning fork on my crown chakra, and I experienced I don't even know how to put into words, but an incredible healing. And it was visceral. It was all through my body. I had goosebumps and I saw colors, and there was definitely an opening happening there. Another thing that can be done is you can put a sound, one of the bowls directly on the person, you know, on their heart chakra. I've even seen, I saw yesterday, someone has a huge bowl and had the person stand in it.
Oh my goodness.
Played the ball. I was, wow.
So I love it.
Many different creative approaches, but I think that it can be utilized in diagnostics and in healing, in locating blockages, injuries, pent up energy, and helping to release it and move it, because that's how we heal ourselves, is we locate and we move along energy that's stuck. Yeah. We are energetic beings. We are designed for flow. And when we impede that flow, it creates resistance, which can show up in any number of different ailments in the body. Yeah. So
blockages in the body, ailments in the body. You can even see as people age, if they've not done this kind of energy blocking, removal, like you can see where their body shifts or distorts where the blocks are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's fascinating to watch and to understand. And so for you, can you share a little bit about your experience with sound healing in releasing trauma, and kind of accessing that deep level of healing that you've been talking about?
Absolutely. I would like to use myself as an example. Mm-hmm. The reason I got into this is because 8 years ago, I was sitting at a meeting at work and my hand started itching. And I looked down and I had a rash and it wouldn't go away. And it developed into hives. Oof. That were so severe that I was missing work. My quality of life went down the toilet. I couldn't cope. I went to multiple doctors trying to find out, am I allergic to something? Do I have an illness? What's going on? I tried every type of doctor you can think of, all different modalities to try to, you know, figure out what was making me have hives. It didn't seem to have a pattern. That was what was so mystifying about it. It didn't seem to be related to food or environment, or everybody kept saying, oh, it's stress. But I don't think that stress could cause the severity of the hives that I was experiencing. Mm-hmm. So I felt kind of let down by Western medicine. I started to lose my faith. That was a big turning point for me. I just was like, wow. All they could do is give me a very powerful immune suppressor. I was on a drug called Xolair, X-O-L-A-I-R, for 7 of the 8 years. Oh, wow. Of this, didn't know what was causing it, but it did help. It did take the hives away and helped me just cope. Another thing I did was I swam. I swam almost every day just to be alive, just to be in my body. It was so severe. Yeah. And I would do things like, I can't imagine doing this now, but I live in Maryland near the Potomac River, up in the, you know, up in the mountainous part of Maryland. And even in the month of February, if I was having an outbreak of hives, I would just go jump in the river.
Oh my.
Yeah. That's how bad it felt like. I was on fire and being stung by bees at the same time. That's how severe the hives were. And it was so bad. I kept waking up with hives, not knowing why. I was like human torture. Right. Wow. So when I started, I learned about grounding, which is basically connecting to the earth. You could do a whole podcast on grounding, Siobhan. Mm-hmm. Basically putting your feet on the earth or laying on the earth. I use grounding mats at home. It's we've become insulated from the earth. Native Americans used to, or currently even still do, wear leather-based shoes. So they're connected to the earth. They sleep in an environment that is, you know, conductive to the earth. Yep. Animals in nature don't have things like cancer or fibromyalgia. You know, they don't, because they're connected to the earth. We have become insulated from wearing shoes and living indoors. Yeah. So if you look at, you know, our lifestyle, some people go the entire day without having any contact at all with the earth. And why this is so important is because the earth is like a giant battery and we're not connected to Mother Earth. We're not getting nourished by another Mother Earth. And the earth is negatively charged. And over our exposure to our environment and just, you know, static and, you know, all the devices and everything in the ethers, our bodies become more positively charged, right? We're supposed to be negatively charged. We become more positively charged. And so all it really takes is one little interaction with the earth. Just put your hand on the earth and zzz, the free electrons are flowed into your body and you're good. You're grounded, right? No. But most people go a whole day and they don't even come in touch with the earth, including myself. I went to a grounding retreat, a women's retreat held by some friends of mine, and they did a whole retreat on grounding and I learned all about it. And I was like, wow, it's used to treat inflammation. So I tried that and it worked so well that I went and bought grounding mats, and I have a grounding pillow I still use. I mentioned I woke up with hives every morning. When I woke up with the hives, they were on my face, but not on the side that was touching the grounding pillow. That blew my mind. This is an anti-inflammatory free thing.
Yes.
It's a free thing that I have access to. Yeah. So over time, I found out that because I spread out the Xolair doses enough that I was able to observe cause and effect, and I took really great notes, I found out I was allergic to food dyes, in particular red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, and blue 1. And a friend of mine who's a chemist told me, hey, Terry, those substances are very, very similar chemically to sulfa drugs, which he didn't know this, but I'm allergic to sulfa drugs. And I'm allergic to three other classes of antibiotics. So my allergies ended up being antibiotics in animal products and meat that I was eating that I didn't know had been treated, and food dyes. So radical changes in my diet and using grounding and sound healing, I'm sitting here in front of you 100% better. I'm off the Xolair and I don't have any hives ever, unless I have an accidental exposure in food, but I figured it out.
Right. Oh, I love this so much.
Well, again, it took 7 years to figure it out.
And your healing into your own hands.
Yes, I had to.
Could not do that. Yeah.
They couldn't figure it out. Yeah. And I mean, I had very, very empathetic, compassionate practitioners, very helpful, and listened. And I did all the food, you know, the food elimination diets, and there was never a pattern. There was never a pattern, because there's no pattern to food dyes and antibiotics and in animal products and meat. I mean, there's no pattern to that. So it really took my own, you know, passion to really figure it out and access to my own intuition.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we're about to take our final break. And so when we come back, we'll wrap this up and talk about kind of where we see sound healing going through the science. So come on back, y'all.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room, and we are wrapping up our conversation around sound healing and the benefits for our mental and physical health with our guest, Terry Weaver. And one of the things that, you know, I'm kind of a little bit of a nerd in reference to sound healing, and there was a documentary that is on YouTube called The One Field. And in that documentary, they are talking about and exploring the connection that we all have here on Earth to the field of consciousness around us and that created us. And out of that is frequency and sound and how we use it to our benefit. And so they looked at not only the science in reference to healing. And one of the things I saw probably 9 years ago was that they're using sound now to heal, to kill cancer cells, which is like my favorite thing, right? But also to use it in mental health, specifically for mood disorders, and to use it for other physical ailments. But we can use sound just on the basic level, like you were talking about tuning forks. We can use music. We can use our own voice for tonal healing. I encourage clients often to create a music playlist that helps them to either lift their mood if they're feeling depressed, calm their anxiety when they're feeling anxious, or just need a jolt. I have two hype playlists for like, if I'm feeling a little dull, not particularly depressed, but I'm just feeling dull, I put on a hype playlist and dance around my house. And that shifts my mood, that shifts my energy. So from that basic level to what we were talking about in going to a sound healing experience, to how shamans use drums to help to entrain or bring a community into coherence for spiritual healing work. All of it works, right? And so, Terry, for our guests, what are you looking at into the future? How do you envision sound healing and frequency being used, not just for personal wellness, but for like the collective healing of humanity?
I believe that as we collectively awaken and recognize our natural healing abilities as humans, we'll see a shift towards natural modalities such as sound healing and away from pharmaceuticals, surgery. Not that those things don't have value and aren't helpful, but just as people tap in and raise in consciousness and start to understand their own basic nature as human beings, we are all healers. And not just to know it, but to live it and believe it and know it and live it. Yeah. There's going to be it's the future is going to look very different than it does today. As you mentioned, sound is already being used to target cancer cells. It can be used kind of like a laser to, to perform procedures to, you can even break up stones, kidney stones with,
yes,
with sound.
With sound. Yep.
That's non-invasive, and you know, that's amazing. There's this new technology that I was reading about called brainwave entrapment. And that's when a client listens to two different frequencies in each ear. So for example, maybe 400 hertz in one ear and 410 hertz in the other ear.
Yep.
And what happens is, it's so interestingly, the brain actually interprets and hears a third frequency, which is 10 hertz, because that's the difference between the two, right down the middle. And that's an actually imperceptible range. So it's kind of like a way of tricking your brain into accepting and hearing another range that is inaudible, that has healing properties.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me. There's been research on 40 hertz energy that it can be used in Alzheimer's treatment.
Yes.
That it can actually, this blew my mind. You would think we've been talking about stimulating the meditative brain waves through this whole podcast, but that one actually stimulates the gamma brain waves. That's the active alert wave category. So, wow. Great. So I think that as more people, as I was saying, I'm a scientist, there's other scientists, people who are waking up and starting to kind of understand how this works and ask questions. I think the body of research is expanding and growing as people ask questions. And I myself am keeping accurate notes as I go along in my process and learning and sharing what I learn. And I think that this field has amazing potential for human health and well-being, not just for a cure or treatment or diagnostics of ailments, but just general well-being, teaching people to relax, to access brainwave states that are conducive to energy flow and feelings of well-being. Our culture has conditioned us for the opposite. And I was mentioning earlier about the sound healing sessions that I've attended as a client. I've been to so many of them that it's almost like I've become trained. So I'm able to just listen to, you know, go on YouTube and pull up somebody playing Singing Bowls and listen to it before I go to sleep. And it often helps me just drop right down because I've kind of learned it. I've trained myself to associate that with a state of deep relaxation. It's amazing what we can do with our brains with practice.
That's right.
Who would ever think I with the
new normal pathways?
Right. My mind and thoughts all over the place. I am able to really hone in, and I can even use it to focus on a task. As you were mentioning the favorite song list, I highly encourage everyone to do that. If you're ever feeling a downward spiral, just pull that out and play it. Your favorite songs, they hold so much energy and so much momentum, really, to propel you forward and get you out of there. It's like a rescue. So sound
That's
is
a
very
perfect way to put it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. People know it. I mean, look, you know, even depressed, you know, people who are depressed naturally gravitate towards sound. People listen to music and they naturally gravitate towards instruments being played. There's just harmony and an elegance to music that lures us all in and soothes us. It's very comforting.
It really
is. So when you do it mindfully, you just give it that extra oomph and power, and also tap into your own inner knowings. And,
absolutely.
Facilitate your own healing. I mean, I can't believe I'm sitting here telling you I'm 100% better. Would you believe it if I told you that my thyroid medication I was taking had yellow dye in it?
Oh.
So those daily hives I was waking up with every morning, they were from my thyroid medicine.
Oof.
Right?
But it's, you know, it's so funny. It's in so many things that we don't think about, like the dyes and the chemicals.
It is.
People don't realize the effect that some of the things we're exposed to on a daily basis, the effect that those things are having on our bodies.
Or that we are even exposed, or that we are even exposed in the first place. If it wasn't for the sound healing and the grounding, I would not have been able to tune in to that as being the cause of what was the most miserable period of my life, feeling out of control and having to take time off of work and not being able to do things, having to swim almost every day. I was in the pool almost every day, just trying to cope, just trying to get my body to settle down because I just didn't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it took me a while, but I figured it out. And I owe my life to you know, my livelihood to sound healing and grounding, because those two together really were the fork in the road for me to wellness. And I'm so grateful. Beautiful. At this point, looking back, I'm thankful for the hives because it brought me in tune with myself and with the earth, and it taught me to be mindful and wonderful, and to open my mind to different modalities that I might not have ever considered before.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story and your expertise about sound healing. For our audience, where can they reach you if they would like to experience one of the sound baths?
I can be reached at my email address, which is terryweaver38@gmail.com. And that's spelled TerriweaverE38 with no spaces at gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. And for my audience, thank you for tuning into this episode and allowing us to share with you our experience about sound healing and what it could possibly do for you. I encourage you to really take a dive in. There is so much on the internet now about sound healing, particularly on YouTube. And if you look up in your area, wherever you are, just typing in sound healing, sound baths, I bet someone will come up in your search that you might be able to check out and work with. Until next time, have a wonderful and healing week.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening. listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.